Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, to speak of truth as we get back into the routine of being in the catechism regularly together, being in class together, taking up that work of the Lord here this morning in bringing forth the truth of the third commandment. So let's hear these words of Christ, Matthew chapter 5. Beginning at verse 33, reading through verse 37, where Jesus says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." As far as the reading of God's holy word, let's also turn to that summary of the word that we work through together, the Heidelberg Catechism, turning to Lord's Days 36 and 37. And for our consideration this morning, we're going to pay more close attention to the teaching in Lord's Day 37. But first, Lord's Day 36, found on page 50 in the back of your hymnal. And let's read these question and answers now that we can do it again. Let's do that together responsibly. I'll read the question and then we'll all respond with the answer. Where it says in question 99, "What is God's will for us in the third commandment?" And we answer, "That we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. In a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess him, pray to him, and praise him in everything we do and say." Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent it and forbid it? Yes, indeed. No sin is greater, no sin makes God more angry than blaspheming his name. That is why he commanded the death penalty for it. But may we swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently? Yes, when the government demands it or when necessity requires it, in order to maintain and promote truth and trustworthiness for God's glory and our neighbor's good. Such oaths are approved in God's word and were rightly used by Old and New Testament believers. May we swear by saints or other creatures? No. A legitimate oath means calling upon God as the one who knows my heart to witness to my truthfulness and to punish me if I swear falsely. No creature is worthy of such honor. Thus far the reading of God's word and of our confession. Let's seek his blessing in it together. Lord, we thank you for truth. We thank you that your word is truth. We thank you for a faithful summary which summarizes that truth for us. And Father, we thank you then that we may give ourselves fully to it. And so, Lord, bless us as we consider what it is to be faithful to truthing in you. And we ask, Father, that your name would be praised in it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, beloved of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what is truth? What is truth? It was Pontius Pilate's famous question prior to releasing Jesus to be crucified. What is truth? And certainly it could be considered, as a philosophy major, a profound conversation that we could have together. But at the same time, it isn't so much when we consider the one who is standing before Pilate. Truth was there, personified. That one was right there speaking that truth to him. Jesus came to earth the way, the truth, and the life. One who came to fulfill all truth, coming that people might live in truth and live according to it. That's us. That as followers of Christ, as followers of the truth, we are not only to be lovers of truth, but those who live it, those who meditate upon it, those who speak it always. That the ones who would be the most trustworthy, the most truthful, would certainly be Christians. And yet it seems these days that truth is at a premium. It's hard to know who to trust, much less what is truth and who is speaking it. And sad to say, that's even true among believers. People are unwilling to speak the truth and unwilling to hear it. People want the truth when it is convenient for them, but do not want to speak of absolute truth when it is not. And you would think then that in terms of such ethics, of the way that we deal and live together being founded upon the truth of the Word of God, that there'd be little debate among us, little debate among those who call themselves Christians as to what is truth, what is the standard that we are to live for, that there would be no disagreement of the nature of what that truth is. But there seems to be more disagreement than agreement among us. What is truth? What has God said? What has He done? And the hard part about that, or what makes that worse, is that we're not going to the world with a truth, with a singular truth. We're not going in terms of, this is God's word, it is the authority for us, and we will live and act and speak this way. No, instead, the truth of the Word of God is set aside, marginalized, explained away, rationalized away, contextualized, where we're not left with very much truth at all. And so what this world context boils down to, what our context together boils down to, is a need to love the truth, a need to be given to it, convicted by it. And we need to defend it too, because it is the basis not only of our relationship with the Lord. I mean, if God's word isn't truth, if all of it isn't truth, then what are we doing here? If it's not truth, then I have no assurance of that which is to come. I have nothing. Nothing. Other than a supposed good way to live, which has to be defined by that word if it's good to begin with. We'd have nothing. And we cannot have meaningful relationships with each other or with this world apart from it either, because the truth doesn't change. I, the Lord, do not change. My word does not change. And if that's the case, if the truth is firmed and fixed forever, it means not only do we need to love it, but it means the evil one hates it. He will attack it. He will seek to destroy it. He will pervert the truth, lie about it, making it so enticing that people would rather tell lies and have lies than be filled with and live the truth. Are we on guard for that? Are we so filled with truth that we know the counterfeit and the lie immediately? That in desiring to have a truthful or truth-filled relationship with the Lord, we have a special calling together as Christians, called to love and remember and promote the truth, because in so doing we promote and love Christ. And so what is truth? It's Christ. It's the truth of His word. And that needs to be reflected in our relationship with Him and each other. So we study the truth of God's word in our confession with this theme. Our Lord calls us to truthing with Him, and it is a word. I knew there were going to be some people. Truthing is not a word. It is a word, which means the act of speaking or acting in accordance with the truth. It's a rare usage, which I think is funny. It's rare because truth is becoming more rare. But nonetheless, Jesus Christ calls us to truthing with Him and with all people. And so we are taught then in this Lord's Day and by way of God's word to maintain the truth and to name the truth. Our Lord calls us to truthing with him and all people. That starts then with relationship. And the relationship that we have with the truth is outlined for us in Lord's Day 36. And again, I'm not going to go through all of that Lord's Day this morning, but certainly those lessons need to ring out, not only as to what we are called to do and not to do, because that's the thing, right? Do not do these things, but use the holy name of God with reverence and awe. Because no sin is greater than the misuse of the name, not only in calling ourselves Christians or saying we love the truth, but in promoting something that isn't there. And yet when we hear that, we say, well, Pastor, the ninth commandment is the one that deals with truth. Why are we taking the time when we talk about the third commandment? But the third commandment speaks of what? Kids, you know it in catechism. First four commandments, first table of the law, deals with our relationship to God. So third commandment in terms of truth is dealing with a relationship that we have with the Father. And it speaks to what that needs to look like. That we are to use the holy name of God, that which reveals to us that he is truth, the source of all truth, again, with reverence and awe. Why? Because we love him. Because we love him. It's why we use proper names for those that we love. Dad and mom. Father and mother, if you're into that kind of thing. Dad and mom, why? Because of the relationship. Because of the awe and respect and reverence that we have. Position. But also because that title speaks of truth. This is our relationship together. And so if we love the Lord who has revealed himself to us by way of his truth, giving us the truth, including the incarnate Christ, that we may properly confess him, pray to him, and praise him in everything we do and say, that means we have to hold high the truth in the context of that relationship. And that's why, if you think about it, of all of the commandments, this is the only one given two Lord's Days. Why? I mean, even the first and the tenth, they get wrapped up in other teaching. But this is the important one. Why? Some of it because of historical context. Namely, the teaching of the Anabaptists and Catholics in terms of taking oaths. The Anabaptists said, you can't ever take one. You must never swear an oath ever. The Catholic Church had taught you may swear oaths, but it doesn't need to be made in the name of the Lord. It could be in the name of a saint or any other thing. But this treatment speaks of more because that relationship means more. Because the name of the Lord and the truth must be important to Christians. For if we are not continually seeking to know and hold fast to the truth, we ought not to hold the name of Christ. We ought not to hold the name of Christian. Because if we are not lovers of truth, we are not lovers of Christ. It's that stark. It's that simple. If we are not found to be continually seeking to know and hold fast to the truth, we should not assume to share that faith with others. Again, because we're not finding ourselves in vital relationship to the truth with Christ and with the Father. Now, oftentimes when we think of swearing an oath, maybe we would say, well, we shouldn't do it very often. We don't want to heap oath upon oath upon oath. But think about it. In terms of that relationship with God and neighbor, we shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have to take oaths. We shouldn't have to sign our signature 8 million times when we go somewhere to buy something or to do something. I gave my word. I spoke truth. But it's not enough. We live in a world that is always compromising and seeking to destroy the truth of God and his people. We live in a world of lies. In a world where people swear to God and upon various things, supposedly, to maintain the truth. But all that does is allow some to continue to trust such people to their own ruin and peril. See, that's the jadedness we have now. Can I really believe that? I turn on the news. Can I really believe that? I open up that book, that magazine. I Google that. Can I believe it? It's on the internet. It's probably true. I can't. Where is that truth? I'm being lied to constantly. So what do? For while trust seems to be a thing of the past, we as Christians are called to maintain it, to live for it, to actively promote it. So how do we do that? We do so by truthing. We do so by being truthful. We do so by keeping our word by the help of God. That when we take an oath or vow in God's name, we are able to, as Christians, to understand what we're doing and whose name we are using. That when you say that, so help me God, fear and awe and reverence. I know who's being spoken of. And we're able to understand the serious consequences that come from breaking such an oath. And so should we take oaths? May we swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently? Yes, absolutely. And what that means is this: may we use that name rightly in order to maintain truth. That's what it's about. It's not about me, but it is about the standard of truth. Will that be maintained by us? Yes, when the government demands it or when necessity requires it in order to maintain and promote the truth and trustworthiness for what? It's not about me. Well, I got to keep my good name. Not about you. It's about the name of God and your neighbor's good. That's what it's about. The Anabaptists were mistaken in their present premise. Certainly, we would want to live in a world where oaths are not required, where everyone upholds and keeps the truth, but we don't live in that world. That's the reality of life. Do people break oaths? All the time. All the time. They sign their names to documents that say they will pay back what they have borrowed or spent, and they do not. They say they will be someplace, and they don't show up. They say they will speak the truth, but they lie. But this should not be among Christians. Because the word that you have given is not first and foremost about you, but it's about the Father. It's about your relationship with Him. It's maintaining His name and His truth. It should not be among Christians who live in a truthful relationship with Christ. Again, you have heard it was said of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. We should be defenders and maintainers of the truth. That when we say something, again, a so help me God, what are we saying? We are saying that as surely as God Almighty is my help, I will do this or that. I'm trusting, Father, you will bring it about, or I should not sign my name to this in the first place. I should not say that I am speaking the truth in the first place. Because we are proclaiming His glory. We're proclaiming that we rest in Him. We are proclaiming that we depend upon Him. And we're proclaiming our trust in the truth of God's word. Such approval was found for oaths in the Old and New Testament believers. Leviticus 19:12. Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Again, Deuteronomy 23:23, whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely to the Lord, to the covenant-keeping God, to the promise-keeping God with your mouth. So, brothers and sisters, we maintain the truth by keeping it. We maintain truth by keeping it in the strength God provides. And He is our example. Christ is our example. Because think about Him and the promise that He made. Think about Him and the oath that He made. He doesn't seek to get out of it, but He takes the truth that it would be established. Matthew 26, but Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to Him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. He is truth. He speaks and maintains it. And that's our call too. An oath may be taken reverently to maintain the truth and to speak it in terms of our relationship with him. But it must not be taken lightly or often, but only in the most profound and meaningful circumstances as a testimony to the truth of the Lord and how it operates unto the glory of God and our neighbor's good. That's the kind of truthing we are called to. To love and maintain the truth because Jesus is truth and we look for it nowhere else. And such maintenance of the truth speaks to what we know of him and is to be properly used in naming that truth as well. And you say, well, why that second point? Naming truth? I mean, truth is truth. Why do I have to name it or call it anything at all? But you see, when we take an oath, we are naming the Lord. We are naming the source of all truth. And we need to then be able to say all truth is God's truth because it belongs to him, because it's given out by him, it is kept by him. And so when we swear an oath, as one commentator wrote, we call on God as witness that one is speaking the truth or that one's intention is upright. That when we swear a lawful oath, we are calling upon an omniscient God, the one who knows the heart and meets our judgment. You see, there is a gravity to naming truth or naming the source of all truth. But there are many today, even today within the church, who continue using that name of truth in a way that doesn't speak to the truth at all. Oh, I swear I'm going to do that. I swear that I'm going to be there. What are you doing? Why are you naming your truth that way? I swear on a stack of Bible. I swear on my dead grandmother's grave. I pinky swear. I swear on everything holy. I swear upon my saint so-and-so. What? Why would this even happen among us? Why would you even speak to that way? Kids, when we come, Mom and Dad, I swear, I'm telling you the truth. I mean it. Just tell me the truth and we don't have to have this drawn-out dramatic conversation. Just speak the truth. Don't lie to me. Don't name the truth any other way that you're going to break. Because when we say those things, what are we doing? That we want to appear truthful with having no concern for the truth at all. That's a problem. Because in that way, far too many people do not honor or respect the Lord, much less his truth and his standard of it. And again, we see that outside the church. People who swear because they've lied so many times that it's the only way they could even remotely seem credible. Lying and swearing in such ways to create loopholes for themselves so they don't need to really uphold the truth at all. It's what Christ condemns in Matthew 23:16. Woe to you blind guides. You say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. No, that's not how we participate in relationship with him or each other. That's not how we uphold the truth. There is only one way in which we may take an oath. In the name of the Lord. That's the one. You see, even in the forms that we fill out, or the agreements that we make, even if it doesn't say in the name of the Lord or God help me, that's what you're writing as one whose name is found in him. That's who you are. You are naming that truth. You have to think about it in that kind of Christian term. And you say, well, Pastor, there are times that we break oaths. You're right. We sin. We live in a broken world. We're going to struggle even within the church with mistrust and distrust. But it doesn't mean we settle for that. It doesn't mean we keep that as our standard. Yes, we're going to break some oaths. Some of those oaths shouldn't have been taken in the first place. Such promises should have never been made. But even then, what can we do? We can name truth by upholding it and seeking the forgiveness of God, of calling upon his name rightly. For we give testimony to his grace and promises that when we name the truth, his is the only name we use. May we swear by saints or other creatures? No. Don't do it. Don't say it, young people. don't have to say, I swear upon something that I'm telling the truth. Don't lie. Tell the truth because of who you belong to. You belong to the Father. Guard that truth. Hold it. There's nothing worse as a parent as having to look at a child and say, I don't believe you. There can't be anything worse from our own Father. What have you done? Where are you? Than trying to run from him in a lie. No, we uphold the truth. We call upon an omniscient God who knows all things. Not only the truth, but our hearts and minds, the one that we are accountable to. So in naming truth, we need to be about it all the time. We should never be in a place where we have to make oaths continually, because people should recognize that what we do and say, we do as followers of Christ. That's why Christ says in Matthew 5, "But I say to you, don't take an oath at all." He's saying, I want you to be people according to the truth. But how does he close that? Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything else comes from evil. So be honest. Love the truth because it's what Christ is about. That he came in that truth. That he has lived and died for you according to that truth. That he is at the right hand of God upholding that truth and will be faithful to all of it for you. And then rest in him. It says in James 5 verse 12, above all my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned. Why? Because the Lord knows our name. And he cannot be named. We cannot be named because we are not the truth God is. He sees and knows. But praise God that he has made his truth to dwell in us. Given us his truth that we might take that name rightly and give testimony to the truth, to the glory of God and the good of our neighbors. Amen. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks that you are truth, that your word is truth, that your Son has established all truth, that the Spirit testifies to us of the same. And you call us then as Christians, followers of Christ, to love truth as well. And so, Father, might we be faithful to living for that truth, not only in maintaining it, and speaking it and upholding it, not allowing the evil one or others in this world to attack the validity of that word, and certainly not anyone in the church either. Those who call themselves Christians, may they not seek to chip away at the truth of your word. But Father, may we continue in faithful diligence to maintain that truth in the strength God provides. But then also, Father, in the promises that we make, might we acknowledge whose name we make those promises. And Father, if it's a promise we shouldn't make, that we wouldn't. If it's one that we have to make because we've been continually dishonest, Father, help our unbelief and forgive us. And Father, we pray then that the truth spoken here in love will continue to build up your people and praise your name. Father, thank you for the ways that we might teach each other truth. And Father, we thank you then for the ways that we might fill our children with truth as well. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity then this morning to give to the Christian Education Fund to continue to provide parents with the resources they need to train up their children in that truth. And so we pray, Father, that you would bless us in our giving and that you would bless us in our speaking as well. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.